Our citizen initiative process is broken. It has been taken over by out-of-state fraudsters looking to make a quick buck.
We've just been testing our kids and testing our kids. We have to really take an honest look at our education system.
Once the children run away, they get exploited on the streets.
From the fourth floor of the Capitol Rotunda, you're listening to WFSU Public Media's Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan. Among today's Capitol action, the Florida House has approved a measure making it more difficult for citizen-led constitutional amendments to get on state ballots. The proposal underwent several changes, but ultimately, critics say the measure reduces access to direct democracy, while supporters say it adds guardrails to the citizen petition process. Adrian Andrews reports protesters were at the Capitol just hours before the bill passed.
Cecile Schoon, the co-president of the League of Women Voters of Florida, was one of many people who spoke against the measure. She was joined by other voting rights organizations like Equal Ground and Common Cause Florida. Schoon says they were hoping to send a message to the Republican-led legislature to, quote, stop the assault on citizen-led change.
We already have very strict procedures in place. That is why we strongly speak against the limitations that are proposed in Senate Bill 7016 and House Bill 1205.
The groups hope to urge the Florida House to vote down House Bill 1205. The House hours later passed the measure, with most Republicans voting in support.
76 yeas, 31 nays, Mr. Speaker.
Show the bill passes. Congratulations.
The bill emerged after Republican Governor Ron DeSantis helped axe last year's proposed constitutional amendments on abortion rights and recreational marijuana. The measure would impose new financial and legal restrictions on petition signature gatherers and the groups that back ballot initiatives. These include shortening the petition submission window and requiring petition sponsors to pay $1 million to get their initiatives on the ballot. Miami Gardens Democratic Senator Chevron Jones, before the House convened, called for his colleagues across the aisle to keep Florida's current petition process intact. He says it already has guardrails.
Nearly 1 million signatures are required at a 60% voter approval threshold currently right now. And the reason why my colleagues did that is because they saw and they continuously see the progressively changing of what people in the state of Florida want.
But that's not how the bill's sponsor sees it. Fort Myers Republican Representative Jenna Persons Mullica says the state's citizen initiative process is broken.
Our citizen initiative process is broken. It has been taken over by out-of-state fraudsters looking to make a quick buck.
Some examples of citizen-approved initiatives include Florida's minimum wage increase, legalizing medical marijuana, and starting up the state's voluntary pre-kindergarten program. The measure now awaits a date to be heard in the Senate. Its Senate companion has one more committee before it can be taken up on the floor. I'm Adrian Andrews.
The Florida Senate just passed a bill to reduce the impact of standardized testing when it comes to graduation requirements. And we get that story from Tristan Wood.
The legislation, sponsored by Tallahassee Republican Senator Corey Simon, would no longer require high school students to pass Algebra 1 and the Grade 10 English Language Arts assessments to earn a high school diploma. Additionally, it would allow third graders to advance grades even if they failed their reading assessment, as long as they pass two previous progress monitoring assessments throughout the year. Simon says the changes will allow students who get testing anxiety to advance.
What we're able to do is look at that data and say, okay, this kid just had a bad day testing. And that happens for some of our kids. Some of our kids just struggle with our tests, but the track record for that student over 8-9 years, we should be able to determine if a kid is on grade level and is mastering the material and just had a bad day.
The policy is a change in direction from the Republican-controlled body that since the early 2000s has championed those assessments. Simon says the current system has led to an emphasis on teaching for the test and contributed to why only a little over half of Florida kids are reading on grade level.
And what we've currently been doing is we've just been testing our kids and testing our kids. We have to really take an honest look at our education system. If 98% of our teachers are effective or highly effective, but only 53% of our kids are reading on grade level, there's a problem there. There's a disconnect.
His bill has received bipartisan support. Tamarack Democratic Senator Rosalind Osgood says reducing the stakes of the tests is the right move.
Eliminating high stakes testing for graduation around Algebra 1, end of year course exam, and 10th grade ELA will go a long way in helping our students.
No House version of this bill has emerged, but that doesn't mean it's dead. It's been an issue Senate President Ben Albritton has heavily messaged on, meaning it could be one of his chamber's biggest asks when negotiations between the House and Senate begin to happen near the end of session. I'm Tristan Wood.
Finally tonight, Florida is a national leader in educating students about human trafficking. The state's K-12 students receive instruction on how to prevent child sexual abuse, exploitation, and human trafficking. But lawmakers say it's time to require the same of teachers and other school personnel. Margie Menzel has more on that.
By mandating yearly training for public school employees, we could potentially save a child from the lifelong trauma of being trafficked.
That's Laura Evans, a third-year law student at Florida State University. She and her classmate, Tess Fields, have been testifying in legislative committees about a measure they say would fill a big gap in preventing human trafficking in Florida.
Florida already leads the nation in educating our students, so it is time we extend that responsibility to our educators.
It would require public school personnel to be trained in how to identify students who may be victims of human trafficking and in reporting and responding to suspected human trafficking. Their professor at the FSU College of Law, Paolo Anino, says some of his law students researched and wrote the proposal to educate Florida's public school students on the threat of human trafficking. In 2019, they brought it to the State Board of Education, which passed it. But then, Anino says, he and his students realized something was missing.
It really struck us that even though we require the children to be trained, Florida did not have any regulations to require the teachers and the school personnel to be trained. So, to be honest, we only understood that after the rule was passed.
He says this bill is vital because it would require basic training on trafficking risk factors, especially for personnel who work with students in higher risk groups or for staff who are most likely to notice red flags, such as school counselors, bus drivers, special education teachers, attendance officers, and school nurses. Those people would learn to notice children with injuries, who can't stay awake, or with other signs they're being trafficked. Anino says when children are at risk for trafficking, there are two major red flags. One is that they're chronic runaways.
We know high percentage of chronic runaways are children either they're running away from physical violence or sexual violence. High percentage. And once the children run away, they get exploited on the streets, on our streets, the streets of Tallahassee, the streets of Miami, the streets of Quincy, Florida.
The other red flag is when children have been sexually exploited prior to adolescence but have not received the proper treatment. Anino says there can be dynamics that are difficult to understand without training. For instance, he says, sometimes children fall in love with their traffickers. There can be a trauma bond between the trafficker and the victim. But research into such dynamics is a new area of law.
We knew very little about the psychology and the dynamics of trafficking at that stage. It was like the beginning of domestic violence in our history. I mean, domestic violence has been going on since the beginning of time also, right? But it took a certain period of time where finally people understood the dynamics of domestic violence.
Above all, Anino says, the children most at risk for trafficking are vulnerable. There's no one reason for that.
A child can have a cognitive deficit. A child can have an emotional deficit. A child can be homeless. A child can have physical issues. It can be a variety of reasons why a child is vulnerable. And all those reasons then make this child especially receptive to the exploitation.
The House and Senate trafficking education bills are identical, and each has passed its first committee unanimously. I'm Margie Menzel.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Adrian Andrews, Gina Jordan, Regan McCarthy, Margie Menzel, and Tristan Wood. Shows are available Monday through Thursday by 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, wherever you get your podcasts. And on many of these Florida public radio stations, you can tune in each Friday to catch the latest on all things happening at the Capitol. That show's also available in podcast form. Technical assistance comes from Taylor Cox, and I'm Tom Flanagan. This is Capitol Report, the podcast from WFSU Public Media.